Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 99 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review once you're on that page. Also, you can also find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Wednesday show today, going to be talking to the franchise 107.7's John Hamm in just a moment. But first, I just want to throw up, it's a little bit long, it's a couple of minutes long, but Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue at Dunked On, really good NBA podcast. If you guys don't listen to it, just do a great job breaking down games, breaking down the NBA, breaking down players, all that kind of stuff. Awesome analysis. Danny, I've had in the podcast a few times. Nate, I haven't had on, but Nate owes me a podcast because I've gone on his a few times. But they had a really good conversation about the Thunder yesterday, and I want to throw that up there for everybody to listen to quickly, and then we'll get to talking to John Hamm.
What about our buddy Russell Westbrook, who is – we have too many buddies. I got to stop using that verbal crutch. But nonetheless, he's averaging a triple-double, still had another one today. It's basically down to whether he's going to do the rebounds or not, essentially. And what do you think his chances are of making it to a triple-double? I never pay attention to per-game stats, so I really have a terrible feel for this.
I talked to Fred Katz about it on Locked on Thunder a few weeks ago, and my issue with him averaging a triple-double was always that he wouldn't be able to put up the excessive numbers, because when you need 10 rebounds a game in particular, I don't think he's going to get 15, 16, 17 rebound games. So I think he'll fall just short, but I don't care too much about that, because if it's 9.7, 9.6, it's still an unbelievable season. He's putting up 41.6% usage rate, 53.9 true shooting, 30.06 PER, which is third in the league, and he's sixth in RPM. He's a one-man team, and he's a pretty damn good one-man team.
Yeah, and also you noted that they're still number one in transition frequency as they were 2 weeks ago. That's all him. You know, I mean, that's like he is just creating that essentially entirely on his own. And he's not the greatest in terms of like his own transition offense efficiency. You know, he's below the median for that because he just will drive really hard a lot of times. He'll take some pull up threes. He just goes so hard that it's hard for him to finish sometimes with touch. But because transition opportunities are inherently so much better, even if you're below the median, it's still very useful to have them compared to just being stuck in a half-court possession, which is going to be, you know, 0.9 points per possession, maybe a little bit below that even for some teams. One thing that we should start monitoring, though, is his own individual efficiency. I'm not as worried about that because they still are good offensively when he's on the floor. You know, that's what I look at more. And what I've always looked at with him, he's never really been incredibly efficient. And that's been one of the reasons why I was like, okay, he's not like a top two or three player in the league. But, you know, he's basically right around the league average now in true shooting percentage. He was higher than that for a time. He's had some rough shooting nights lately. So we'll have to see, especially as he grows more tired, is he going to have to settle for more jumpers? Are there going to be more teams knowing the scouting report, taking him out of transition, waiting for him at the rim because they have no shooting? We could see him take a little bit of a tumble.
And since I know people are going to comment on this, yes, it is true that Russell Westbrook had 17 rebounds twice in the last week, so he can put up those numbers sometimes. But something that it's putting a little bit of an alarm bell in my head is that OKC is giving up the most, and this is per game, it's not pace adjusted or anything like that, the most opponent shots in the restricted area per game, 31.9, and the percentage they're giving up is pretty high, 60.5. It's a little bit higher, so worse defensively than league average. And considering they have Steven Adams, yeah, their backup centers are collective sieves and individual sieves, but you would think that even their starting five would be enough to keep that below the worst in the league.
Victor Oladipo, very encouraging three-point shooting so far. He leads the team with 111 attempts. He's made 46 of them, so that's 41%. Shooting quite well on spot-ups as well. He showed a little bit more versatility. He's getting more aggressive taking those, which I think is important for them. And then Andre Robertson actually is third on the team in attempts. He's already taken 53 three-pointers, and he's making 32%. He still seems to shoot them better at home. Per 36 minutes, he's bumped his three-point shooting up to 3.2. Over 2.4 was the highest he'd been so far in his career. So it seems to have taken a little bit more of a step forward, and I think just you kind of have a little bit less guilt about taking that when you don't have as many other options on the team, perhaps.
I do think Robertson's three-point shooting is interesting. He's shooting better on catch and shoot this year. Now, granted, they're not really guarding. They're guarding him less than they ever have before. Pretty much defenses around the league. But the confidence in which he's taking shots is definitely an interesting trend. He's far from the fact that he's shooting from 32% doesn't necessarily mean he's equal to other 32-point shooters in the league. You know, guys take, shots off the dribble more often than him. They take more contested shots than he does. Pretty much all his threes are wide open catch and shoot threes. A lot of them are from the corner. So don't let that 32% mislead you. But what you can do is you can look at it and you can compare it to Andre Robertson of the past, like Nate and Danny did. You can say he's probably better than he was before, which is a nice thing. Before we get to John Hamm, I just have a question for all of you. Do you love the NBA? Are you ready to get into the action? You can check out BetDSI.com if you do. It's been a business for over 20 years now. It's a top-rated business. It's safe to play there. BetDSI has a great NBA special too. You can sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. And BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's got great customer service. It's fast and easy payment of winnings. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You can also get UFC and whatever else you're looking for too. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use the promotion code THUNDER10 to get your free wager and start winning today. Quick break, and then we'll talk to John Hamm.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So let's welcome to the podcast from the Franchise 107.7, John Hamm. John, you're still the lesser John Hamm.
And always will be.
That's got to be a shame. Like, no matter what you do, you're just never going to be the better John Hamm.
I'm just not. And that's okay. I'm cool with it. I'm not angry. I'm not mad about it. I accept this.
You ready to talk about the Thunder?
Let's talk about the Thunder.
Not like European politics?
I mean, if you want to go there, I can Google stuff while we're talking.
All right. So the Thunder 13-8. Let's talk about the Thunder. Or 14-8, sorry. Half a game back at Houston, who they play on Friday in the Western Conference. They're currently the 5, but like, it's so jumbled right now. Like, you got Houston at 14-7 at the 4, the Thunder 14-8, Memphis 14-8, Utah 13-9. I'm wondering. So the Thunder were 6-1, then they were 8-8, then now they're 14-8. It's basically been a season of streaks, right? 6 out of 7, and then 7 out of 9 lost, and then 6 straight wins. Where do you rate them right now? Like, are they what their record says they are? Have they been the benefits of a relatively easy schedule? Are those like 3 losses that they had, the close ones to Indiana and the Lakers and the Magic? Like, should they be better? Where do you rate them right now?
Yeah, I think they're probably what's the old phrase? They are who we thought they were.
The Denny Green moment.
The Denny Green, yes.
Yeah, the Bears are who we thought they were.
That's right.
Then there's the Bill Parcells quote: "You are what your record says you are."
That's right. Right now, according to Basketball Reference, the Thunder has had the 19th. Toughest schedule. At one point, they were like number one, but that was after playing the Clippers twice, the Warriors, and the Raptors. And so that's obviously softened up quite a bit. And so you have to take that into account. Thankfully, the Thunder are winning those games because they need to pile up as many of those wins as they can before January. But all things considered, I mean, I've heard a lot of discussion about, they might be 3 possessions away from having 3 additional wins, but they also got some help against Houston. The last 2 minute report in that game showed the Thunder got some benefits. So, you know, that's one they probably snuck away with. The Denver game was a few minutes from getting away from them completely. I mean, they frankly turned it on in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. So yeah, if you just look at it and you understand that they're going to lose some of those games they should have won and won games they shouldn't have, they're right where they should be at this moment.
Yeah. I think that's probably about right now. They're winning at like a 50-win pace. I don't think that necessarily means they're a 50-win team.
Right.
I probably think about the same of them right now as I did at the start of the year. Like, I think I predicted them to finish 8th in defense and like 18th in offense or something like that. Right now they're like 9th in defense and 15th in offense or something like that. And a good way to predict wins is just to try to guess like where you think teams will finish, you know, offensive, defensive efficiency, and then move on from there. I'm going to look up what they are right now. We're going to do some like real life podcasting. I'll be honest. Today is the first day that I haven't written in like 2 months. So I have not spent my days scouring Basketball Reference. So the Thunder are 17th in offense right now. And they are 8th in defense. Oh, wow. So my prediction was really close right now. How about that?
That's amazing.
If you could see me, I'm currently reaching. Like, I'm about to throw out my shoulder because I'm reaching so hard around to pat myself on the back.
Yes, because it's not going to change at all between now and the end of the season.
No, it's locked.
It's locked in.
It's locked in right now. But hey, I'm pacing to do okay. But the Thunder have kind of outplayed their net rating right now. They're a plus 1.4. They've outplayed it a little bit. They're 9-4 in games that are decided by single digits at the end of regulation. So like they're winning those close games. They're kind of weird, right? Like they're kind of weird.
They are. There's things about this team that just make you scratch your head. Like I pointed out the other night against New Orleans, they missed a ton of threes. They missed a ton of free throws, turned the ball over a million times and still won. Now, some of that's an indictment on New Orleans, but the fact that they were able to play that type of a game and still win doesn't really compute.
Yeah. Yeah, they do weird. Like, okay, they're 5th in the NBA in net rating in fourth quarters.
Right.
Like, they're a strangely really good fourth quarter team. And when you watch them, you think like, all right, Westbrook is just obviously handling the ball so much more late in games. You think that like in some ways it's an unproductive model, right? Like one guy just to such a degree taking over everything. But like statistically, it's working and they're winning a lot of close games. And their offense is good late in games. Their defense is good late in games. They're outscoring opponents by more than 7 points per 100 possessions in fourth quarters, which is like the opposite of what's happening in first and second quarters. It's like I don't know what to make of them in some ways because they're kind of unpredictable in that sort of sense.
Now, the one thing that I have been looking at, because I wrote about this before the season started, about the Thunder's play in the clutch. And last season, it was bad. And it was the defense that fell apart late in games. And we're talking about last 5 minutes of a game when the game was within 5 points. They had a negative net rating. And, of course, that all played into all the blown fourth quarter leads that people wrote about last season. This year is completely different. They have the third best net rating in the clutch this season. In 15 games, they're 10-5 in clutch situations, and they're a plus 26.5 in the clutch. Huh. And I'm still trying to figure that out. I honestly am.
It's almost like small sample size data has a high variance.
And if you go through the stats, I mean, they are the best rebounding team in clutch situations. They've got the highest rebound percentage, the highest defensive rebound percentage. And then if you look at the assist numbers, they are all at the bottom. So it's all Russell Westbrook.
They're pretty close to the bottom in assist rate right now, right?
Anyway, right.
I mean, I guess they're 19th. That's not so bad in assist rate. Like that's not so bad. Like they're
28th in clutch situations.
Well, that makes sense. But I bet you Houston is relatively low in that situation.
Yep.
Like I bet you a lot of teams that are kind of singular offenses that are kind of dominated by one singular ball handler. I bet you a lot of teams are at the bottom there. Like that's not always necessarily the indication of a bad offense. Like, Toronto is second to last in assist rate right now. And they're number two in offense. Toronto's offense is, like, we got to start talking about Toronto's offense as, I don't mean the two of us, but, like, the basketball community has got to start talking about the Toronto offense as, like, holy crap, this is historic what they're doing. Like, they have a 114 offensive rating right now. It's like their offensive rating right now is, like, almost where the Warriors were last year.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. And it just, it looks ugly because they kind of do it, like, here's Toronto is kind of continuing the legacy of KD and Russell Westbrook. Because it's DeRozan and Kyle Lowry kind of ISOing and running pick and rolls. And it's those guys handling the ball. It's tons of isolation. And it looks kind of ugly at times. And DeRozan is taking tons of long twos. And it just looks off. It doesn't look like it would be a good offensive model. Meanwhile, they're scoring 113.9 points per 100 possessions, which is crazy. Like, I could go back in the archives right now and look, and I would struggle to find a non-Warriors team that didn't average. Actually, you know what? It's higher than the Warriors' offensive rating last year. It's significantly wow. higher, which is unbelievable. Like, I'm going to really struggle to find a team that had an offensive rating that high. We got to start talking about Toronto. But it's funny. Like, last year, the Thunder were second, running a similar type of offense. You know, two guys dominating the ball. And the Thunder were second in the league and had the highest non-Warriors offensive rating the league has seen in, like, a few years. And, like, now Toronto is second behind the Warriors, whose offensive efficiency has jumped, like, 3 points per 100 because they're just dropping everything on everyone. Did you watch Clay last night?
I did not get to see the game, but I saw some of the highlights this morning.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
It was absurd. You see that alley-oop?
Yeah.
That was,
oh, yeah.
I'm not exaggerating, like... I think that was I'm this isn't hyperbole. I think that was the most incredible alley-oop I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, last night was a good night for dunks across the league.
Yeah, the Oladipo one was amazing. It was amazing because this is what the Warriors do. I saw that Oladipo dunk, and that was amazing. Like, that's dunk of the year potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, obviously that's, you know, sports. You know, you turn on SportsCenter, that's obviously the number one play tonight, of course. And then I watched the Warriors game after because I wasn't in Atlanta, so I had the luxury of writing my story and turning on the Warriors game. I watched the Warriors game and I see Klay has like 40 and it's the first half still, and they have that absolutely outrageous alley oop, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess Oladipo can get like the number three play. For like the play of what was the play of the year like a minute ago. Now it's the
right.
number three play of the night. It's like, that's just what the Warriors are doing. It's they're clowning everyone.
They are. Yeah. They are on some kind of a level right now, as we all expected that they would be.
Yeah.
It didn't exactly just take off from the start, but you know, what Juggernaut does just come out like a well-oiled machine. So right. Scary now.
And meanwhile, once again, those well-oiled San Antonio Spurs are only one game worse than them.
Yeah. Yeah, those sustainable San Antonio Spurs. I just marvel at how they're able to just sustain what they're doing. They've only been in the lottery twice, in the past 30, 40 years?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the two Something times like they were in the lottery, they got the number one pick, oddly enough. So,
right, and like really 97, that was a tank job. They tanked.
That well, yeah. Injuries helped with that. They, you know,
right. Well, David Robinson got hurt, and then
he got re-hurt.
Right, and then they tanked. And
yeah,
they just let it go.
Sean Elliott had issues that we didn't realize at the time, like how serious they were, and yeah, a bunch of other injuries. Yeah, I think they did. I take that back. They went in the lottery one more time because they drafted Sean Elliott in '89.
There you go.
So there's your Sean Elliott reference for the pod.
Yeah, I've been lacking Sean Elliott references, honestly.
Well, that's the only reason I've been hoping to come back on, is so I could slide his name in there, because that was the same draft as Stacey King. There's your Stacey King reference.
Wow, so many NBA color commentators in that draft.
Sure are.
Both those guys color commentators.
Front office guys.
Yeah, both those guys color commentators now.
Yep.
So what's your prediction? Somebody asked me for yesterday's podcast when I was taking Twitter questions. Do the Thunder... What's a higher number by the end of the year? Thunder wins or Russell Westbrook triple doubles? And like, it's a ridiculous question, but the fact that like somebody would even ask that is like, it's only a difference of three right now. The fact that somebody would ask that is ridiculous to me. And I think it's obviously Thunder wins, but it really got me thinking, like, how many triple doubles is Russell Westbrook going to have? And like, so Vegas over under in the preseason was 20.5 triple doubles for Westbrook. He's going to get that. Like he's more than halfway there. But what do you have him at right now? If you have to predict, you have to put your life on it and you have to guess a number. What are you picking?
Cause right now he is hashtag on pace for what? 41.
One every other game.
Yeah. I don't see 40. I don't know. I hesitate to put limits on the guy because, you know, I never thought we'd be sitting here at 22 games talking about his 11 triple doubles. There's a part of me that hates putting the limits on him, but I still think this is early December. There are going to be some dog days in the season, and there's going to be a ton of road games in January, or maybe it's going to be a little bit tougher to pull that off. And there might be some games in January that they are, frankly, out of it in the third quarter, and his minutes are limited. So I'm going to go ahead and put him – I'm going to put him in the low 30s.
The dog days of January when he'll only be getting 27, 8, and 8.
Right, exactly. Yeah, which is why he's getting like 18 and 16 rebounds now because you know it'll help down the road.
Yeah, exactly. He's like a camel before he walks through the desert, just drinking up all the water.
Yes.
Yeah, he's harvesting. He's basically harvesting for the winter. He's a pilgrim.
He knows
he's harvesting rebounds for the dog days of the winter.
That he's got to go to Cleveland and San Antonio and San Fran and Oakland in January, and you know you might as well grab a few now against Brooklyn, you know, while I have an opportunity here. So, but yeah, if I had to guess, I would say somewhere in the low 30s, which is still like last year 18 was a big deal, and now we're talking about probably 30.
No, it's true. Like so, last year 18 was it tied Magic Johnson for. Basically, like the real basketball record.
Yeah.
Curtis Harris will kill me for saying the real basketball record and not appreciating my basketball ancestors of the 1960s. But
the modern day.
No, the real basketball
record. The real basketball homework. You said it, I didn't.
No, I don't think like Oscar Robertson listens to Locked On Thunder, so I think I'm okay.
You're probably all right.
I think if I was joking with Royce about like I've never been so confident in a statement in my entire life. It was when I say, I'm pretty sure Russell Westbrook does not listen to Locked On Thunder. Like I'm so confident in that statement. It's unbelievable. I'm thinking out the pretty sure. I don't know why I said pretty sure. I am so confident that Russell Westbrook does not listen to Locked On Thunder. But yeah, like 18 was like, it was the record in an era in which the NBA has, you know, run games not on tape delay.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was the record in an era where like people had figured out how to use the shot clock. Like those numbers in the 60s, they were like Babe Ruth's numbers. The game was still developing.
Yeah.
Like the shot clock is a core rule of the game. That is, and I'm not saying don't appreciate that Wilt was great and don't appreciate that Oscar was great and that, you know, Bill Russell was great because they were great for their time, no question. But like the game was developing. If you were a tremendous athlete and you had something figured out, it was easier to figure out the rest because the game is now developed. Like Babe Ruth was out homering teams, but guys were throwing 3 miles an hour and and people were still figuring out like how to play. Like we're talking about a guy who came up when like the spitball was legal. Like the game was in its infantile stages and it was still developing. And when something is in its development stages, anything, a sport, a business, whatever, it's easier to exploit within that industry or within that market.
Like a 100-point game, for example.
Yes, like a 100-point game. And it's easier to do that kind of stuff. And doing this at a time when the game is already developed. Is just kind of like Russell Westbrook is doing for triple doubles what Babe Ruth did for home runs, but in a developed league, and that's unbelievable.
I compared it to 50 home run seasons in Major League Baseball. Because it was a huge deal when Cecil Fielder came up and hit 50, because he was the first one since George Foster, I think, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, I mean, obviously there were some outside factors here going into people's bodies that helped out with this, but then we had an explosion of 50 home run seasons, and it kind of became the norm. So think about that. Think about what Russ is doing, kind of normalizing triple doubles without all of that, you know, illegal substance crap going into his system. It's insane.
Yeah, no, it really is. And and speaking of which, I've said before, here's my other question for you, because you're a good person to ask this to. I'm gonna find this first. I'm looking stuff up today, so I have no shame in this podcast. I'm looking stuff up. I'm unprepared. And I'm looking stuff up in the middle of this podcast now, and you can't say anything to me. So
this sounds like a John Hamm production. This is the John Hamm special.
Oh, and now I can't find it. No. What are you doing at NBA.com? Where is your advanced leaders? NBA.com changed its interface, and I'm kind of struggling to find it.
Yeah, and it's changed for the better, in my opinion, but now stuff has moved around.
Yes, exactly. It has changed for the better. I agree. Like it's actually really good. Okay, so here's what we're doing. The usage rate battle. Here's the problem with I went on Basketball Reference because I couldn't find it on NBA.com. Now I was gonna say Russell Westbrook's usage right now is 41%, and I'm tying this back to baseball. Don't worry. And good. Joel Embiid's usage right now is, according to Basketball Reference, 37.4%. I think this is Maguire Sosa of usage rate.
That's awesome.
Who is Embiid gonna pick it back up and get to Westbrook's usage? Or is Embiid like the Griffey of this, and DeMarcus Cousins is kind of the Griffey of this because he's over 37% too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's Maguire, who's Sosa, and who's Griffey? And who's like Greg Vaughn in this scenario?
Oh boy. So part of it, I keep wondering like what changes are gonna happen to the Thunder that might impact that. The more I see Victor Oladipo get comfortable, the less I buy into that idea that's been pitched on trading for a small forward, shifting Andre Robertson back, and then putting Oladipo on the bench. It seems like the Thunder probably are going to make some changes, but probably not like anything like overly drastic that brings in like another ball hungry, you know, player. So maybe Russ's usage rate winds up sustaining at this point. So if I had to guess, I would say that he's going to be Maguire, and, then Joel Embiid is going to be Sosa, and it's probably going to be tight because does Joel have any assists this season? Has he registered one yet?
He does. He has a few, but he definitely does not pass very much at all.
He was starting out looking like the Yinka Dare of of assisting centers.
Yeah, no, he was not passing really at all. I'm gonna call Cousins Griffey in this one.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that DeMar DeRozan is Greg Vaughn.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I'm giving him the Greg Vaughn. Yeah, who would have thought that Greg Vaughn was going to be discussed in this podcast?
As well as Sean Elliott and Stacey King, yeah. We are bringing it today.
Yeah, and we'll say that like Melo is like Ken Caminiti. Just the vet who's like always up there. He's gonna hit 30 something. He's gonna be good on that. Yeah.
So who's Brady Anderson in this scenario?
Oh, who's Brady? Maybe DeMar DeRozan is Brady Anderson in this
scenario. Kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah. I'm looking. It's hard. Oh, you know what? You know who's 10th in usage right now? Here's Brady Anderson. Here's who's 10th in usage. Although Brady Anderson was 50 home runs in 97, wasn't he?
I think you're right. I get those.
Who's 96 or 97? He at 50. But you know who's having the Brady Anderson year in usage? Lou Williams has a usage over 30% right now.
Oh man,
Lou Williams always been a chucker. But
well, yeah, but now he's got a coach, I'm sure, that just loves him to death.
Lou Williams. Here are the guys behind Lou Williams in Basketball Reference usage rate right now. Kyrie Irving is the guy directly behind him, then Kemba Walker, then LeBron James, then Stephen Curry, then Brooke Lopez, Gordon Hayward, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Andrew Williams, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That is outstanding.
And Lou Williams has a higher usage than all of them. Those are,
in less than 25 minutes a night.
Yeah, those are. I didn't randomly pick out guys. Those are the 10 guys that are behind him. So that's a he is Brady Anderson in this scenario.
Yeah, because his shooting percentage is, I think, career high at this point.
Oh yeah, he's having a great year.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's really tradable.
Yeah.
Tradable. Like, he's averaging over 18 a game in 24 minutes.
Yeah, Luke has done wonders for him.
Luke's done wonders for a few guys.
A lot of guys on that team.
Yes, that is very true. Has the Thunder started all? Changed your win prediction for them? What'd you have them at, like 45?
I had them at 47. And I called 47 because the initial Vegas line, I think, was 45.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm going to put them slightly over. I'm going to put them at 47, finishing behind the Jazz in the Northwest. I'm going to go ahead and hang on to that for now, because I sketched out something the other day, kind of a what-if scenario. We keep talking about the doomsday, or, you know, the dooms month of January. There's a chance they could be right at 500 at the end of January.
Mm-hmm, for sure. January, they have 12 road games.
12 and 3 at home.
That's unbelievable.
And they've got, like, monster road games in January, so... Yeah, there's a chance they could be like 25 and 24 or somewhere, just kind of teetering there on the 500 range, and people will be lining up to jump off the ledge around here. And, you know, then it'll probably get a little bit better. But in other words, this sort of this padding that they're putting together right now, they're going to need it because, yeah, I still don't see it increasing from my initial projection. And as a matter of fact, it might even come in a tad under that.
Here's the difference between, like, being a basketball fan and being someone in my position. When people talk about, like, all the road games in January, like, I'm going to almost all of those, and my reaction is just, I have so much travel, that month is going to be awful. Like, I don't even think about the team. Like, my reaction is just like, oh my God, I have a flight. I have, like, a flight, and then a day later I have a flight, and then a day later I have a flight, and then I'm living out of a hotel for, like, a month, and it's just like, I'm so not excited. And I'm like, oh yeah, they have to play basketball too. So
right.
That probably is very hard for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, guys, go play at the Clippers and then at the Warriors and then at the Jazz.
Like, it's not easy games. Like, they also have at San Antonio and at Cleveland and at Minnesota. Who else? At New Orleans, at Chicago, at Indiana, at Milwaukee. I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but there's other ones. So at Charlotte, like, these are – Milwaukee's decent. Charlotte's good. You know, Chicago's been good. You know, obviously Cleveland, San Antonio, Golden State, and the Clippers, like, four best teams in the NBA. Utah is a playoff team. They play at Houston. That's you know, a 50-win team. Utah might be a 50-win team. Like, this is – it's not road games against the 76ers.
Yeah,
it's tough. That month could be bloody.
It definitely could, and then it gets a little bit better in February.
They have two road games in February.
Yeah,
it is so imbalanced.
It really is
unbalanced. I should know this. I'm supposed to write for.
I was going to say you're the writer, not me. So don't ask me. I have no idea.
I'm supposed to write for a living, so I should probably know the English language to a decent degree. Apparently, I don't. All right, before we go, you wanna tell people? I imagine the basketball show is coming back soon, right?
It should be. Jerry and I have talked about it because you know, obviously, football season, college football season, is off until bowl season. So we are looking to that would be our Saturday morning show where. Jerry Ramsey and I just talk basketball for an hour, and it's some of the most fun I have every time we do it. So we got that going on. Obviously, you know, I fill in on post-game shows. I'm rotated into those. Got some stuff coming up on Bleacher Report that I've got out there, some stuff in the works. So, yeah, I'm keeping plenty busy around there.
Yeah, and Jerry's going to be so annoyed that I have. You've been on this podcast, what, like five times?
Something like that. Yeah.
And I've never had Jerry.
I've got a jacket now and everything. So Jerry hasn't even had an appearance.
I've never had Jerry. And Jerry always, whenever I see Jerry always gives me crap about it.
That's Jerry's nature. So
yes, that is definitely Jerry's nature. All right. Well, before we go, you can subscribe to Locked On Thunder on iTunes. You can also check us out on audioboom.com. Find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. And John, what's your Twitter again?
At John M. Hamm, JonMHamm.
Great. And if you have questions, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. Back with another show today or tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, it's my 100th episode of Locked On Thunder. It doesn't feel that momentous because like it's only been like 5 months. I guess I just do it a lot, so I'm up to 100. But I think I'm gonna do a quarter season like the 100 awards for episode 100. So I'll do something like that, unless I think of something more clever in the next 24 hours. But
you should do a clip show. That's what they do in Hollywood.
I know, but that takes so much work. I didn't even like research for this podcast. You think I'm going through all the other podcasts and doing like a clip show? Also, like a clip show of podcasts sounds so boring.
Pretty bad. Yeah. So are television shows that do clip shows.
I know. It's true. The clip shows are always awful.
They're the worst.
They're so bad. Who even watches them?
Yeah. Always skip them.
Yeah. Why always. Does anybody want them? I don't understand why every like 90s sitcom did that and no one enjoys it.
Nope. Just filler, just for a light writing week and light acting week.
Yep, exactly. And then they have all the producers have to go through and find the old clips. But I imagine that's a lot easier in video because like you can just like find some, scroll through and find something. And with this, I have to like listen to like all the times that I scrolled through the usage rate leaders. Can you imagine how boring that would be? Hey, remember that time I went through all the usage rate leaders with John Hamm? Like, I don't know why anyone's even listening the first time around, let alone
riveting.
Let alone the second. Sounds terrible. Like it's not like I had like Steven Adams on and he said something hilarious. I had like Royce Young on and we talked about hamburgers.
You had like, Royce's voices.
I had Royce's voices. I do have Royce. I think Royce has been on one more time than you.
Yeah, it's a competition. I don't know if you knew this or not. I don't think he even knows it, but yeah, it's a competition.
Oh yeah, it's 100% a competition. Well, you guys got a campaign.
Yes, we do.
You got a campaign to do it. So that's going to do it for today. Any questions? Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on email. Whatever it is. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.